is a lot more people here than I thought there was going to be. I was getting ready for about 10 or 12 people to be here tonight, and okay, I can deal with this. This is great. Let's go ahead and get some bulletins. If you don't have the bulletin, I don't think there was anybody passing out bulletins as you came in. There's some things you want to write down tonight. Go ahead and grab a bulletin, raise your hand if you need a bulletin and pen. Right over here, Travis. He raised his hand. All you rest of you people got one? All right. Good deal. We're not passing out Bibles and stuff anymore right now. I believe it's a COVID thing or whatever. I'm not really sure why. But everyone has a phone. And most of you probably have the Bible app on your phone. So if you want to get that out, there'll be a few scriptures that we're going to look at tonight, and you can follow along that way. So the title of this message tonight is He Knows Anyway. He knows it all anyway. This month, and it is so crazy, Kimbra. This month, we've had several meetings on things like our demons, negative self-talk, negative thinking, our secrets, things we think about ourselves, things we've done, and thoughts like, I'm not good at anything. I'm not good enough. I'm so far gone, nothing could ever help me. I could never recover. I'm so far gone. God could, or He would never use me. No one likes me. And I'm not like everyone else. I'm so far gone. I want you to listen to me right now. No one is so far gone that Jesus can't reach. And every one of those things is a lie from the enemy to bring you down.
Amen.
It's not true. It is not true. So how do we get past this kind of thinking? We've had a lot of meetings this week on it. A lot this week. And like I said, through this month, it's been a recurring theme. Even in Lingleville. I didn't talk to those guys down there about what the meetings topics we've had here. And Ty brings a meeting on our demons and our secrets. And then the next week we have this, and then Kimbra gets up and, I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. I believe He wants us to hear something tonight. I believe He's knocking at our door and saying, listen up, open this thing up, man. I got something for you. So how do we get past this negative thinking and thinking about the things we've done? I want you to write this down. We got some fill in the blank stuff on your notes. And the number one thing I want you to write down on it says, when you're in negative thinking, find what is good.
Amen.
You have to find what is good. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about these things. We had a meeting this a couple of weeks ago, or I'm not sure. We had one of the meetings, and it was on this negative thinking. And I shared in that meeting about we were on vacation earlier this summer. And one of the days there, I don't know, and I told y'all before, like, if I get on vacation and get away from what I do and meetings and groups and the people that I hang out with, I get a little squirrely, man. I get irritable, restless, discontent. Because I'm not doing the things that keep me centered. And so there was one of the days there, we was all on the beach, and I wasn't getting my way about something. And so I said, well, I'm just going to sit in this chair and pout. I'm going to sit in this chair here and pout about it. I wanted to do something different or whatever it was. Meaningless at this point. And I sat there and I got to thinking, this is my brain. This is my brain that's caused me. This is my thinking that's messed up right now. Look where I'm at. I'm on a vacation with my family. I have to do something to change my thinking. So I got up out of that chair and I walked
a long ways down a beach. And I just kept walking, and I was not going to turn around until my thinking changed. And how I did that is I started thinking about the things that I was being blessed with. I was out there on a vacation. I was with my family. All my kids are healthy. All my family's healthy. I just started naming these things off. And thank you, Lord, that I'm here. I started naming these things off, and suddenly my attitude changed and my thinking changed. I was dwelling on the negative, but I had to find what is good. And I started dwelling on what was noble, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. I started dwelling on those things, and it changed my thinking. I got out of that negative thinking. The second thing I want you to write down, remember, people don't care that much about what you've done. They really don't care that much about what you've done. See, most of the time, people are too consumed with themselves to really care about what you've done, how you've lived. I've seen throughout the years a number of people who have actually stopped coming to Overcomers and stopped coming to church because they've relapsed or XYZ. And they were afraid that the people in this room were going to think something negative about them. And they were afraid that there was this little group over here talking about me, or these people over here that were saying stuff negative. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And I've had to tell them, none of that's going on. People don't care that much about what you've done. They just don't care that much. What people do care about is what you're going to do.
Amen.
They care about what you're going to do. When those people left here, that's when people were, where's so-and-so? I hope they're okay. They care about what you're going to do. People don't care about what you've done. Proverbs 29:25 says, being afraid of people can get you in trouble, but if you trust the Lord, you'll be safe. That's just what I'm talking about. Those people were afraid of the people in this room. They're afraid of people, of what someone might say about them. So they leave the church. They leave the groups. And they end up in trouble. Number three, the third thing I want you to write down here is tell someone. Talk about it. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you. When a believing person prays, great things happen. And the really cool thing about us in Overcomers and the people in the 12-step recovery community, we were given tools for this. It's a fourth and fifth step. We were given tools. On page 67, and this is talking about the fourth step, on page 67 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, referring to our list again, putting out of the minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely look for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, and frightened, though a situation had not been entirely our fault? Where were we to blame? We have to look at our part. We have to see where we've done wrong and face it. Then, if you turn on over to page 75, we talk and we tell someone. There's a lot of people that have a lot of secrets, and that's killing them. To hold on to that stuff and not have a single person in your life that knows everything. On page 75, it says, when we decide who it is to hear our story, to hear these things, we waste no time. We have written an inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand.
Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by your confidence.
Amen.
You got to tell somebody about it. And then we pocket our pride. See, that's one thing, is our pride that'll keep us sick. Our pride will keep us sick. We have to pocket that pride. Those things that I'm not going to tell anybody. I did that. I held out something on my first fifth step. And I thought about it continuously until I found somebody that I could tell. We pocket our pride and we go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Well, what happens then? Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eyes. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. I underline that. Man, our fears will keep us sick. Our pride will keep us sick. Our fears will keep us sick. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. I underline that. And there's a reason I underline that. We're gonna see a story here in a minute where fears fell away. And she felt the nearness of her Creator. We may have certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on a broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. Amen.
Amen.
So I told you to pull out your phones and go to your Bible app, but I did not tell you a scripture. So if you want to, go to John 4:4. And what we're about to talk about is the woman at the well. Jesus and a Samaritan woman meet. After I read this story, I read it a couple of times just to get it sunk in here. And a lot of times when I read something, I read a story in the Bible, I see something I've never seen before. And what I realized in this story, that this woman engaged in a fifth step with Jesus. He knew anyway. So what happened here is Jesus had left Judea on his way back to Galilee. He and his followers, he was picking guys up along the way. And he went through Samaria. Now, from what I understand, that is not something that the Jewish people do. They don't go through Samaria. The Samaritans did bad stuff to their temple, trashed their temple. It was a big, long deal, but they did not get along. And the Jewish people were not friends at all with the Samaritans. They thought they were lower. They looked at them as trash, okay? But Jesus decided he was going to go through Samaria on his way. Jesus came to a well outside of Samaria and sent the rest of the followers in to get some food. He was going to sit there at the well. And about 12 o'clock, he was by himself, and about 12 o'clock noon, this woman comes to the well. Now, why is 12 o'clock important? She didn't want to see people. She was avoiding people because she had a bad past and a bad present. She was avoiding people because of the things that she had done. She was ashamed. She didn't want, she just knew people were talking about her. Remember I said people don't care that much about what you've done? But she just knew that people were talking about her. About this time, Jesus asked her to fetch him up a drink. He says, "Please give me a drink." As soon as I read that, I said, why? Why would this man, Jesus, who could fetch his own drink, he could hold his hands out and say, put some water in my hand. He could tap a rock and it become a well. He didn't need this woman to fetch himself a drink. But he needed to break down the bitter history. He needed to break down the cultural inappropriateness it was for him to even talk to her. He needed her to let her guard down. So he asked her for a drink. See, a true servant, which Jesus was at the mercy of the one he came to serve. He asked her for a drink when he could have got it himself all along. But he put himself at the mercy of the one he came to serve. Well, this surprised her, wouldn't you think? A Jewish man, decides to carry on a conversation with her. Verse 10, John 4:10 says, "If you only knew the free gift of God and who it is that's asking you for this water, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Let's move on down to 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will never be thirsty again, and I will not have to leave. I will not have to come back here to get water." See, she didn't understand. The last time I was up here, I talked about how Jesus told the people who he fed the 5,000, and those people found him the next day, and he was like, "Why are y'all even here? You know, you just want me to feed you again, and if you want real freedom, if you want eternal life, then you must drink my blood and eat my flesh." And they all went, "Ooh," and left him. Well, here's the same situation. We have the same situation right here. She didn't understand when he said, "I will have the living water." And she said, "Give me this water so I don't have to come back to this well." And that's not what he's talking about. She still didn't understand. So here's where the fifth step time comes in. Can you imagine doing a fifth step with someone who already knows all of it? Well, you didn't tell me about that. Well, I was going to. Yeah. See, I want you to write this down. Because as soon as I saw this, I was like, she admitted to God, to herself, and to a human being the exact nature of her wrong. Jesus is God.
He is a human being.
And human. And he already knows it all. She admitted to herself, God, and a human being the exact nature of her wrong. John 4:16 says, Jesus told her, and here's where it starts. Jesus told her, "Go get your husband and come back here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right to say you have no husband. Really, you have had five husbands. And the man you live with now is not your husband."
Whoops.
His next sentence, though, lets her off. That's where he stopped taking her inventory. Right there, he stopped taking her inventory. And you know what he said next is, "You told the truth." She told the truth. She says, "I have no husband." "You told the truth." I believe that the most important thing about this fifth step, the most important thing about a fifth step is tell the truth. So at this point, Jesus tells her, "Hey, I am the Messiah. You've been sitting here talking to someone who already knows all this." And suddenly, she wasn't afraid of people anymore. Suddenly, that fear fell away from her. Verse 28 says, "Then the woman left her jar and went back to town." She dropped what she was doing. Sounds familiar? The fishermen dropped their nets, went to follow. She dropped her jar. That wasn't important anymore. What she was doing presently wasn't important anymore. And she said to the people,
the same people that she was avoiding, and the reason she was going to the well at noon, she was avoiding these people. She ran to those people. "Come and see a man who told me everything I did." So the people left the town and went to see Jesus. Note, a woman delivered that message. That was a woman that delivered that message. And we could get into a whole nother thing about that, but I wanted to say it. It was a woman who, I knew I'd get an amen back there from Kimberly. It was a woman who delivered that message. She was preaching. They said to the woman, "First, we believed in Jesus because of your speech." That, to me, means she came back and gave a speech. She was preaching.
Amen.
She gave a testimony to these people that she was completely avoiding because of her past.
Right.
It was as simple as talking to Jesus about her past and her present. Mm. And her fears fell away.
Amen.
But now we believe because we have heard him ourselves. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world because of your speech. This is a woman that would at all cost avoid people, but now she didn't. Because she met Jesus and told the truth, she was set free from the bondage of her past and her present. John 8:32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I just remembered that. I said, I have to write that down on the side there. The fear of what people thought of her fell away. Remember what I read earlier out of the big book? Let me go back to it. I want to look at it again. Where's that at? Underlined. Our fears fall from us, and we feel the nearness of our Creator. Remember, I said that a while ago, and I said, we need to underline that. I need that. Her fears fell away from her, and she felt the nearness of her Creator.
Amen.
That's what pushed her ahead. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's much more to say about it. We've had multiple meetings about this thing. You are good enough. As Kimber says, you are enough. God says you're enough. When someone tells you that you're good enough, believe them. Talk to people about what's going on in your life. Tell someone. I got a couple of questions. As I do every time I'm up here, I want to leave you with some questions to think about during the week. They're down there on the bottom of your bulletin. Take that bulletin home. You can cut out the notes. I don't care. Whatever you want to do, tape this little part somewhere where you can see it. Is what you say and think about yourself true and from God? Is what you say and think about yourself, is it true? And is it from God? Then who do you talk to? Is there someone in your life besides God, because he already knows, he knows anyway, is there someone in your life that knows it all, that knows the truth? I tell you what, when I finally got rid of that thing that I hung on to in my fifth step, it wasn't John that I told it to. It was another random person, but he knows now. It wasn't that big of a deal after I've got it out. You have to talk to somebody. You have to get that stuff. No more secrets. You have to tell the truth. I want to pray for us, and then we'll get on with the service, get back to doing some worship. Lord in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for grace, and we thank you for mercy.
Lord, so often we sit in that fear, and we sit in that pride, and we sit in believing what the devil's lies are to us, and we believe that we could never be good enough. We believe that we're not adequate enough. Lord, you know that I struggle with this right here, that I don't believe that I am qualified. Lord, I have to do this because you've put it in front of me, God. And you make us adequate. You make us good enough. Please help those people who believe that no one likes them. Help those people who believe that they're so far gone, nothing could help. Lord, press onto their heart that they are good enough. They are wanted. They are loved, and they are liked. Lord, I pray for the people who throughout the years have left the church, and not just our church, Lord. They have left the church because of their fear of the past, and the things they've done has kept them from going back into the door, because they believe those people will just talk about me. They'll judge me. They won't understand. Lord, send them here.
Amen.
We have a phrase here is, I know. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your son, who, because we mess up, and he knew that we couldn't be perfect, he jumped up on that cross and gave his life so that we could live with him forever.
Amen.
Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.